It is an honor and a blessing to be able to gather with you today as we worship God and praise together. We are going to begin a series of lessons where we're talking a little bit about the Maryville mission. So if you remember our theme for this year, it is Created for Action. And we've talked about it on and off throughout the year. But the purpose of it is that we as Christians are part of God's new creation. It's like you've been made anew in Christ, but you have not been made anew simply to be forgiven and to sit there and cross your fingers and hope you don't mess up and just wait until you get to heaven and then think, okay, great, whew, I made it. No, actually, your mission is quite different than that. You were created, you were forgiven so that you could be created to do new things and to be a part of God's mission. You were created to be active in his kingdom, like the kingdom of God where his will is done on earth as it is in heaven and where he reigns supreme in our lives and in our world. It requires of us that we become an active part in that mission through obedience and faithfulness, through encouragement. We've talked about a lot of different ways that we can encourage and be faithful to one another, that we could be faithful and obedient in our obedience to God as collectively, as a church, morally in our lives, rejecting sin and choosing obedience and righteousness. We've talked about a lot of things throughout the year. What I want to talk about specifically over the next couple of weeks is what it means to be created for action with respect to our mission here as a church at the Maryville Church of Christ. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but occasionally when we're coming in here before the service starts, there are on the screens, there's information that's being given, and some of that information is our mission statement here as a church. We have a mission statement, and what I wanted to do for the next 3 weeks is talk about that mission statement and show how it connects with Scripture, but then also show us some ways that we can actively get involved in it. Because if you're a member here at Maryville, that mission statement is also your mission statement. That's something that we're all working together on and working together towards. So here it is, and we're going to break it into three different sections over the next couple of weeks, but this is the mission statement for the Maryville Church of Christ. To fulfill the Great Commission by teaching the gospel to the lost, to encourage a never-ending spiritual growth in God's children, and to hold steadfastly to the Bible, which we affirm is the inerrant and inspired word of God. So we're going to break that into three areas, the first one being to fulfill the Great Commission by teaching the gospel to the lost. Next week, we'll talk about how we fulfill the Great Commission by encouraging a never-ending spiritual growth in God's children. And the last week, we'll talk about our commitment to Scripture and faithfulness to the Word of God. But this first week, we're going to talk about fulfilling the Great Commission by teaching the gospel to the lost. And I love that about this church. I'm very thankful for our elders. I'm very thankful for the mission-minded focus of this congregation, both locally and abroad. I love that we have a church that takes the idea of God's word and presenting it and bringing it to other people so seriously. And I think that is something that we excel at here, and it's a wonderful thing to be a part of. But that's part of our mission. That's part of your mission as well. And so in this lesson, we're going to talk about these words. Now, the beginning of this mission statement says to fulfill the Great Commission. So a lot of people probably have some verses that pop into your head when you think of that. But it's also quite likely this happens a lot of times with words like Great Commission. People may have heard that word their whole lives, but don't actually know, or maybe you haven't heard that word very much. Yeah, I guess that's also a possibility. But don't actually know what it is. Like that's a Bible-y sounding thing, but nothing in the Bible uses the words Great Commission. We are referring to a select number of verses in the Bible when we talk about what's called the Great Commission. So when we say our mission statement is to fulfill the Great Commission, after the resurrection of Jesus, he met with his disciples in the resurrected, glorified state on a number of occasions. And the Gospels end with him sending them out with a mission into the world. And that is a mission that was given to them and that you see like throughout the book of Acts, them fulfilling. You see it in the early church. But it's also a mission that has been taken up, not just by the apostles, but by those who were converted by the apostles, by those who listened to the apostles. And it's a commission that I think is very much something that is beneficial and beautiful for us to pick up and carry on as our own as well. And so when we talk about fulfilling the Great Commission, we're talking about these statements that go all the way back to Jesus to his apostles, but that have continued on in the life of the church since that time. So we're going to now read what some of the different gospel writers, how they discuss this great commission. The Gospel of Matthew is probably the most quoted one, and I think it's an extremely important one. I think it's the climax of the Gospel of Matthew, where after the resurrection of Jesus, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me." So Jesus is the one with absolute authority in heaven and on earth. He's actually worshiped right before he makes it. He's on a mountaintop being worshiped by the disciples like God and says, "All authority in heaven." So if you ask the question, who has all authority in heaven? The answer to that is obviously God, right? God is the one with all authority in heaven. And yet Jesus, the human, says, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me." It's like Jesus is sharing absolute and ultimate authority with God. Why? Because Jesus, and this is something that the gospel mysteriously portrays in many different ways, is the embodiment of God on earth. Jesus is God, and he sits at the right hand of God, and he shares absolute and ultimate authority with God, and he is worshiped as God by the church. And so, as Jesus sets up this climactic statement for the Gospel of Matthew, it's a pretty profound and incredible thing to say that all authority in heaven and then also on earth. You might think that it resides in kings and presidents and governors. All authority on earth is also Jesus's authority. And so absolutely who we are called to listen to over and above anybody else is Jesus as our ultimate and absolute authority. And what does he say as the absolute and ultimate authority? To go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. The mission of Jesus is not just for one particular group of people or to bless just one nation. It is intended to be a worldwide mission. He has authority over all the earth, and that means over every nation on earth. And so we go into every nation, and we proclaim the good news so that Jesus is seen as king over everyone else among all peoples, regardless of tribe, language, nation, tongue, border, anything like that. And here's how you go about making disciples. He says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, number one, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, it's also pretty remarkable that Jesus connects himself to Father, Son, Holy Spirit as the name, the one name in which you are baptized into. He has all authority on earth, and he is the one we baptize in the same name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Like, Jesus is a part of that. So that's just another way of saying he's clearly not just a human as he's being portrayed in Matthew. But then he says, make disciples by baptizing them and by teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So everything Jesus has commanded to his disciples, they are supposed to go and take to others. And I think what you should do, this is the end of the Gospel of Matthew, is after you read this, read Matthew again and pay attention to all of the teachings of Jesus. Pay attention to the Sermon on the Mount. Pay attention to his commission, sending them out. Pay attention to his parables about the kingdom. Pay attention to what he says about forgiveness. Pay attention to his teachings about the destruction of Jerusalem and ultimate judgment. Like, all of these teachings of Jesus, pay attention to. Learn them and live them, and then teach them to others also. And he promises at the end, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So you also end with this beautiful promise that he will continue to be with us in this commission, even through the end of the age. In the Gospel of Mark, we have, this is the traditional ending of the Gospel of Mark, and we have another iteration of this great commission where it says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So Matthew, make disciples of every nation. Mark, proclaim the whole gospel to all creation. Very similar ideas there. And Mark then also says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And so here we have, there's a promise that through signs, Christ will continue to be with his people. But in there, we have the proclamation of the gospel, it going beyond borders to all people, it including faith and teaching and baptism. As we get to Luke's, this is as Jesus has just had a meal with his disciples. We're talking about meals in the Gospel of Luke. The Great Commission in the Gospel of Luke is centered around a meal. He has broiled fish with them on the seashore. But he says to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. So again, you have the idea of the proclamation of the word of God, repentance, you have forgiveness that is offered, and it is proclaimed in his name to all of the nations. It transcends borders. And then he says, beginning from Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So when you get to the book of Acts, which is right after this, you're going to see that clothed with power from on high, it's this promise of the Holy Spirit that's going to fall on his apostles as they carry out this mission. And the Gospel of John explicitly talks about that as well. The Gospel of John, this is near the end, after the resurrection, Jesus says to his disciples, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you also. So Jesus was sent to earth, and they were sent by Jesus throughout the earth. He says, receive the Holy Spirit, which is, I think, a picture of what you're seeing in Acts 2 also, and forgive the sins of any. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And I think in that you have this authority invested and trusted in the disciples and in the apostles that they will uphold God's word and his truth as faithful representatives of a message of forgiveness and a message of salvation. And so as you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they end with this final sending out of the disciples along with the Holy Spirit to cross borders and to bring the gospel to people through faith and repentance and baptism, I think you're seeing what our mission, what we're talking about here when we talk about our mission as a church, to fulfill the Great Commission by teaching the gospel to the lost. That is one of our primary objectives as a congregation. Now, ways that we've done this, we do this through local missions, talking about ways of serving and trying to help our area, and along with that, bring the gospel. We do this through foreign missions and opportunities for people here to actually travel and to go across borders and to teach and to help and to try to spread the word of God. And then we also do this through our support and encouragement of foreign missionaries. So the different models for doing mission work, one model is to take Americans and send them to other countries. And I think there's value in that. If you are in America and you can go to another country, I think that's a good thing to do. But another model that I think is really profound and a very good thing to do is to support missionaries who are native to those lands so that they can teach and communicate the gospel there also. And so we do both of those things. We help support those who travel, and we help support those who actually are native to the land and who live there. And so if you're thinking, okay, great, that's what the church does, but I mean, that's just like stuff that takes place in elders' meetings and that stuff that takes place for the decision makers. How can I possibly get involved in that? Well, I have good news for you. There are many ways that you can get involved in these local and foreign missions, and this lesson is about encouraging you to do so. It is part of our mission statement here as a church. So, how can you help the local mission? What I mean is, how can you help here, close to us, people in your life, people you run into contact with, people near our congregation in Maryville and the surrounding areas, how can you help them hear the gospel? Well, one thing you can do, and this is going to be true for everything, pray without ceasing. That is not just a nice little thing to add at the end because you should always talk about prayer. It actually is central and foundational to any mission and any ministry of the church, is that it should be surrounded and infused with prayer constantly and regularly. So as a church, if you're looking for very valuable things you could do for our mission work, if every one of us took this ministry seriously, the ministry of prayer, I think it would benefit everything that we do. So I want to encourage you, pray regularly. Pray and don't give up on it. Pray unceasingly about the work that we're doing as a church. Secondly, teach the gospel. This is pretty blunt, but just do it. Teach the gospel to your family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, etc. Those who are in your lives. Now, you may think, I don't think I can. I don't think I know enough. Well, that in and of itself presents a challenge to you. You can know enough. Everyone in here can know enough to teach the gospel to another person. If you don't already, it's not the time for like rebuking or anything. It's time to encourage you. We'll start learning the gospel well enough to teach it to other people. You have a lot of resources here at the church too. We have resources that can help you in personal Bible studies. We have people here who can help teach you. And so, I mean, talk to people and see, you know, how could I learn more so that I can feel better equipped about teaching other people? And another thing, it often is also simpler than we make it out in our heads. We sometimes expect we're going to go and we'll get caught up on something and then we won't have an answer and then the gospel will be harmed. The gospel's more harmed by saying nothing. And like silence harms the proclamation of the gospel more than a valiant attempt. And I would also say that, yeah, if you get into a situation where you don't know something, that's happened to everyone who's ever taught the gospel ever. Just say, you know, I don't know that, but I know enough to believe in Jesus, or I can try to find an answer to that. Like, that happens sometimes. That's not the end of the world if that happens. But also, it can encourage you to study. It might encourage you to grow in your own faith and understanding of the gospel, and who knows the impact that it can have on others. So take that as a personal mission quite seriously. You can be an evangelist. You can teach the gospel. You can baptize somebody. You can bring someone to the Lord. I would also say if you could set up Bible studies and spiritual conversations with some of our evangelists here. We do have people here who have Bible studies with people. If you have someone who's willing to study and you can say, hey, I know someone from church who'd love to study with you, you could do that. We have elders here. We have ministers here. We have members here who are faithful and godly, very talented teachers of the gospel. Get to use some of those resources. I think it'll really help in our local missions as well. A simple thing you can do, invite people to worship in the study, in the Bible study with you. We provide opportunities for worship and for Bible study, and we open our doors to the community. One of the ways that we can bring them here is through friends and family and people who love and care about them and with good relationships, simply inviting them. And you know what often happens? People come here and they realize, hey, not only is there a really good group of people there who I can get to know and build quality relationships with, but there's actual Bible teaching that's being done there, and there's opportunity to grow spiritually, and there's opportunity to get involved. Like, you could, by bringing someone here, have a huge spiritual impact on their lives. But one other thing that every one of us could do is when you do see our guests who are visiting here with us, when you see people who are not members but have wandered into our building, greet them. You talk to them, encourage them, try to get together with them, try to get to know them, befriend them on Facebook or whatever social media. Like, but see if you can make some of the most likely people to teach the gospel to are the people who have already taken the step to actually enter into a church and to sit down and to learn more about God. It's like they're already here. They have already expressed interest. And so I would say take that very seriously as the simplest way to fulfill this mission. And then also show the goodness and generosity of Christ to others. One way you can do that is through joining a lot of the ministries that we have here at our church, whether it's the quilting ministry or many of the things that we do. Here in just a little bit, we're going to have our youth for Isaiah 117, raising money by selling hot cocoa to people. And by the way, you should come support that. I think that's from 11:30 to 2:30. But that support some of the ministries that take place here. And as you do so, you'll be contributing to the local work that we have taking place. And so those are practical ways you can get involved locally. How can you join the worldwide mission? The mission that crosses borders? Pray without ceasing. Take the ministry of prayer very seriously as we consider bringing the gospel to others. Go on a mission trip. That is one of the things that we try to encourage and people to do. We take missions very seriously. We try to provide opportunities for members of this congregation to actually get actively, physically involved in teaching the gospel to people across borders. Teach for WEI, the World English Institute. I know some people here who know a little bit about WEI. I know some people who could help you get it set up. What WEI is, is it's a way of teaching English to people throughout the world who want to know English. It's meeting a need for people who, whether it can help them in their careers or help them in a good number of ways, who want to learn English. But it also provides opportunity, not simply to help someone learn a new language, which is in and of itself a gift, but it provides opportunity for spiritual conversation because the English that you're learning comes from the Bible and it comes from different lesson plans, and people are able to be introduced to Scripture and a new language as they work on a new skill. The whole world is being opened to them of the spiritual realities of what God has done through Christ. And so if you're looking for Bible studies, there are literally hundreds of people right now trying to learn English looking for a teacher. You could just help them learn English. And if you know English well enough to speak it, you could be one of the teachers for WEI. And it has had profound impact on individuals, churches, countries throughout the world. And you could be a part of that. And that's something that we take very seriously here. It's one of the, you could do worldwide missions from your computer if you will take this seriously. You can financially support our mission efforts. If we're giving people opportunities for mission trips, if we're supporting foreign missionaries, all of that takes money. And you can be a part of that. Maybe you think, well, I don't think that I can get up and travel the world, but I have saved quite a bit throughout my life. Wonderful. We can use that also. And you can get actively involved in the mission work of this church by contributing specifically towards the mission work of this church. Financially, it is something that I think is used wisely. And it is something that has benefited and blessed many people. You could also get involved by spiritually supporting, encouraging, and building relationships with our foreign missionaries. That is one of the beautiful things about social media, is that it allows for that type of relationship building across borders. But something else I want you to know about, we have a new missions board downstairs. The downstairs pavilion, as you're about to go out, there is on the hallway a new board that our Soul Train group has been working on that introduces you to all of our missionaries that we're supporting, tells you where they live, tells you their names, and has a picture of the world on there with different strings attached so that you can see where they're all doing their work. Those are works that we take very seriously, and we want to encourage and support them. One of the goals that will get added to that board is a way for you to have pre-addressed envelopes where you could send letters to them. We'll even provide foreign postage if for those who are wanting to get involved in encouraging and supporting the people who are doing mission work. And I'll tell you this about our missionaries. I've spent some time with the missionaries that we support, and whether you know in like Albania or sometimes they've traveled here and I've been able to meet them here. I am really impressed with the people that we support. They are biblically knowledgeable and faithful. They are kind and loving. They're gifted as teachers and evangelists. They are people who I am very glad to know, and they're people who I think you should get to know. They will be a spiritual encouragement. They will be an enrichment in your life. We, I think, support a fantastic group of missionaries in countries throughout the world, whether it's Albania or Romania or India or Russia or New Zealand. I think the people that we support, you'd be very proud that we are supporting them in the work that they're doing. They're involved in great works, and they're great people. So to introduce some of these people to you, we have some videos of our Soul Train, who has been also emphasizing, our Soul Train group, who's been emphasizing learning more about missions. And if they are set up to go, we're going to play some videos here where our missionaries are introduced by our Soul Train kids before we bring our lesson to a close.
This is Prabhu Kumar from India, missionary in India for 30 years.
This is Kit and Rachel O'Connell. They've been missionaries for 28 years, and they live in New Zealand.
We're Emelina Cook from Texas, missionaries in Romania for 30 years.
Tafar Tatiana Holter from Albania, Sedalia Holtinyana, outbeat it up for 10 years.
Dove and Shirley Hill, they are missionaries in Russia for 26 years.
Arilla Mondra, from Albania, missionary in Kachov, Albania for 25 years.
This is Ellen Walker from Searcy, Arkansas, missionary Alabama for 18 years.
This is Albert Chepi and his family. He's from Albania. He's been a missionary in Korcha, Albania for 13 years.
This is Gazim in Chasmania and Bulimia from Albania, Missouri in Majunk, Albania for 9 years.
This is Ariel and Anissa Hoxha from Albania, missionary in Palatin, Albania for 10 years.
This is Bledi Balsa and family from Albania, missions in Trana, Albania for 16 years.
So there are ways to get involved locally, there are ways to get involved in foreign missions, and there's ways to support our missionaries throughout the world. So as we bring our lesson to a close, if you are created for action in Christ, get active in our mission work. Check out the new missions board downstairs, something that I think will be a blessing to this church. But then also, commit to at least one new practice in your life that supports our Maryville missions. We've just talked about a bunch of possibilities and a bunch of ways you can get involved. Choose something that you're not already doing and say, I'm going to get involved in that, and I'm going to get involved now. And if we can help you get involved, please, we'd love to talk to you. And if there's anyone here who would like to become a Christian here this morning, please let that be known. You can name Christ as the Lord of your life. You can believe the gospel. You can repent and live in conformity with his will. You can have your sins washed away in baptism. You can take the Great Commission personally and seriously by obeying it here today. If we can help you do that, you can talk to some of our elders in the back. If you're watching online, you can contact the church here, and we'd love to talk with you. Or if you're here and would like to come and sit on the front row, please do so while we stand and sing.